Monster Man, episode 237, Quickling and Quickwood. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're taking a look at the last two monsters from the P and Q chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. First up, we have the Quickling. Now, the Quickling is yet another of the vast number of little kind of mischievous sprites, although these ones are not so much mischievous as they are deadly. They were once brownies, but they meddled with powers beyond their ken, and they've turned evil, and they've gained this sort of super-fast metabolism, which is both a blessing and a curse. A blessing because it makes them really, really quick and really, really deadly. A curse because it reduces their lifespan so that they only live for a couple of years. Essentially, they're moving so fast that their lives are really, really short. The Quickling is fine. They're an interesting opponent. They're sort of bait for area effect spells, but they do actually have reasonably good defenses against them. Slightly kludgy in terms of the system, it just says they save as though they were a certain level of cleric, which, you know, is a kind of clumsy way of expressing their save numbers, but I don't think in AD&D First there's a more elegant way of doing that. Anyway, they're a very interesting opponent because they're very fast, they use poison daggers that can kill characters very quickly if they fail their saves, but they're very fragile. They're not capable of taking any kind of damage, really. And they, you know, they're a little bit different from the other monsters in their category, although they do have some of the kind of illusion-y and trickery kind of powers that you might expect from a mischievous sprite. I will say this for the Quickling. The illustration here works pretty well. It's by Dave Sutherland, and, you know, I often, in season one in particular, I often was critical of Sutherland's art compared to some of the artists in that book, so compared to people like Dave Trompier, and certainly compared to the people in the Fiend Folio, you know, compared to someone like Russ Nicholson, you know, he seemed unpolished. You know, his work seemed a little rough. But here, I think the Quickling is really good. So, you know, either I've misjudged Sutherland or, you know, it's been 6 years and he's improved a great deal. Here, the Quickling illustration gives a tremendous sense of motion. It really looks like it's zooming. And it has a kind of style to it that suggests its sort of nimble elven appearance. The only thing that I don't quite understand is that with one of his hands, it's making the kind of Vulcan salute gesture. Now, I know that that's based on a rabbinical gesture that's displayed on tombstones, I mean, among other things. But, I mean, I think that, you know, when you have a pointy-eared character doing that, that's what people think of, right? But other than that, I think that the Quickling is actually pretty good. I like the idea of the hyper-fast character zooming around. You can certainly imagine the PCs, you know, coming up with the sorts of things that would foil these types of characters, whether that's, you know, pouring marbles all over the floor or casting grease or setting up tripwires or things like that, right? Because the Quickling is not physically powerful. It just has this one advantage. So it's a little bit of a puzzle monster. You have to figure out how to overcome its one real unusual special ability. I don't like the name, though. Certainly, if you look at the majority of the little guys, they all have names that are drawn from sort of actual folklore, you know, pixies, brownies, sprites, pukas, and so forth. And I do think that the Quickling suffers a little bit by comparison. I mean, it's quick, and it's small, it's a quick halfling, it's a Quickling, it's nothing. But I came in expecting to hate these guys, like I am not really a huge fan of most of the little mischievous sprite monsters, but actually, I thought the Quickling was all right. Next up, we have the Quickwood, or Spy Tree, and this is sort of an animate tree, got kind of a face on it, although, if you're not looking carefully at it, it can seem to be just gnarled bark. Quick here refers to the idea that the tree is alive, rather than the idea that it moves fast, which it certainly does not. The description is at pains to point out that the Quickling is sentient, quote, unlike most of the vegetation found in the world, close quotes, which seems to me to be a needless qualifier, like, I am not a botanist, but I was reasonably certain that most plants are not sentient. Now, I don't want to say that most plants are not animate, because there are an awful lot of animate plants in this book and a good number in the Fiend Folio as well. So there's nothing unique about, well, there is, but for the most part, the core concept of the Quickwood is not unique, other than the point being made that it is sentient. Right? It's not like the Hangman Tree or whatever, where murdering adventurers is just part of its life cycle. It's intelligent. But although it's an intelligent being, we don't really learn anything about its goals or objectives, right? And the line between being an intelligent tree rather than a tree spirit, like a dryad or a tree ant or something, seems quite thin. So the interesting thing about an intelligent creature, especially when it's an intelligent version of a type of monster that in its unintelligent form is quite commonplace in the game, the interesting thing about an intelligent creature is that you can talk to it. But there isn't actually very much to that in this monster, because you can talk to it, but we don't really get any information about its goals, its objectives, what it's like, its attitudes, which are the interesting thing about an intelligent monster. So instead, we just get a description of, you know, how it's going to behave in a fight with it, which is the situation where the fact that, unlike most tree monsters, it's intelligent, the distinctive thing about this monster is least relevant. So that feels like maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity. The other unusual thing about the Quickwood is its defensive ability, which I actually really like, which is if you cast a spell on it, it can take that spell energy and transmute it into a fear effect. So the strength of the fear effect, the range that the fear radiates out from the tree, is based on the level of the spell, which I think is a simple way to mechanically express the idea that it's absorbing the spell's magical energy. You know, if it doesn't resist the spell, it still does this. It's just like a side effect of the spell being cast. But I can imagine the characters being able to figure that out and thinking like, well, okay, we actually have to take this thing out with, you know, lower level spells, hang back and pelt it at range with lower level spells. So even when it does convert the spell energy into fear, we won't be within the radius of effect. That's quite an interesting challenge, and one that you would not normally see in a D&D monster. So I quite like that. I just feel that the apparent unique status of this monster is just not as unique as it might be, because nothing really comes of it. Still, it's a good monster, and I'm not unhappy to have it here. It's got a fun visual element, the kind of the tree on the gnarled bark that's very like sort of the angry apple trees in The Wizard of Oz or something like that. I think that there's definitely a lot to say for this monster. And, overall, I think it's okay. I just wish that the aspect of it being sentient rather than animated had been explored in a little bit more detail. Okay, that is all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to cover one monster from the R chapter of Monster Manual 2, and we're also going to dig deep into the listener mailbag as I clean off some of my pending tasks for the beginning of the new year. And as always, look out for more bonus episodes in the Monster Man Holiday Boss Rush. That's all coming up on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.